Please turn your Bibles to the book of Jeremiah. Yes, beginning this Lord's Day, I will consider this book with you, the book of Jeremiah. And this book is the second of the major prophetic books of Scripture. We shall do a series of study of this book, God willing, over the next 2 or 3 months. However, we are unable to go through every chapter or every subject. This book is very comprehensive. It has about 50 over chapters, if I'm not wrong. And so we will only be 52 chapters. And so it will be a very formidable task if we are to go into the detail of this book. Nevertheless, we will just touch on the major features of this book, and I hope and pray that this brief study together with you over the next 2 or 3 months will assist all of us, the believers, in your spiritual walk and in your ministry or your service to the Lord, to whichever service or ministry that the Lord called you. And so I want to commence this study with a quick background of this book and of this prophet Jeremiah, to have an overview. The author of this book is none other than Jeremiah, and his name means Jehovah appoints, or the Lord establishes. And beside this, Jeremiah was also called or given names, or you can call it titles. One of them, or one unusual one, is he is called the Weeping Prophet. Another title given to him is the Martyred Prophet. And also he is called God's Iron Pillar. As to why all these names or titles are given to him, well, we will know as we proceed to consider the various subjects he is writing to us. The main theme of Jeremiah's discourse is judgment. Judgment for what? Judgment for the people of God breaking the laws, breaking the Lord's covenant, breaking the Lord's law that God has made with His people, His chosen people. But at the same time, it has a message of hope and a message of restoration because of God's faithfulness. Not because of us, or not because of what the people will do, but because of God's faithfulness and for His known name's sake. And that is why you see in verse 10, to build and to plant. And so, to urge upon us, particularly those who are still outside of the kingdom of God, to urge upon us, and those who are backslidden, those who have gone cold towards the Lord, this message from Jeremiah is to urge us to repent of our sin, because the imminent judgment is coming, and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope of salvation. So in order to have a clearer knowledge of who Jeremiah is, whom the Lord called, there are 3 vital information that we need to look at. First, we want to consider his personal background. Second, his call into the Lord's ministry. And third, the public ministry to which the Lord called him. And then, of course, with a brief political context in which he lived and served the Lord. So first, our first heading, the prophet's personal background. Jeremiah was a priest, born in the family of priests or in the tribe of the priests, and now he is made or called to be a prophet. So So he holds two offices, as a priest and as a prophet. His father, Hilkiah, and this Hilkiah may not be the same Hilkiah, that famous high priest who played a very significant role in the reformation of Judah. And, well, we do not have any further information concerning his father, Hilkiah, except what we see read in verse 1. And Jeremiah grew up in the priestly village of Anathoth, about 3 miles north of Jerusalem. And this village was part of the tribal area of Benjamin. Perhaps during Jeremiah's childhood, he could be brought up in a rural farming area, which accounts why he used a lot of agricultural metaphors and in his message during his ministry, as we see in his writing. Jeremiah was born a priest, but he functioned as a prophet. And a prophet is one who receives the word of the Lord, and he is to pass that message or to proclaim that message to the people. And so he may be called the spokesman of God. God's call to Jeremiah came in the 13th year of the reign or the rule of Josiah. And Josiah, we know from the Bible, from the scripture, is a very good king, a righteous king, one who loved the Lord godly, and he was the one who brought about reformation, repentance, and led the people back to the Lord when they have been rebellious for many years. And Josiah became the king of Judah in 640 BC. And so his 13th year was about 627 BC. Josiah was the righteous judge of Judah. But sadly, after his untimely death, he was killed in battle when the Lord told him not to go for the battle, but he went forth and he was killed. And after him, every other king who ascended upon Judah's kingdom was unworthy of the fast. Wicked king that led the people away from the Lord, rebel against the Lord, and turn to idols. And then Jeremiah continued his ministry as God's spokesman right down to the 5th month of the 11th year of Zedekiah, as we see in the verse 3. And so that date, the 11th year of Zedekiah, could be around July to August of 586 BC. And so all in all, Jeremiah's ministry to Judah, to God's people, lasted more or less about 41 to 46 years. It was a long time. And so, however, this verse in the introduction, this verse probably refers to Jeremiah's ministry to the nation of Judah until the people of Jerusalem went into the Babylonian exile. Because in chapter 39 of Jeremiah verses 11, or rather, yeah, chapter 39 verses 11 to chapter 44, verse 30, records for us the events of Jeremiah's ministry that occurred after August 586. So I would like all of us to take note that Jeremiah's writing in the book of Jeremiah is not in chronological order, as he makes references to the various kings of Israel during his ministry. And it's good for us to bear that in mind, because we can get quite lost and confused when he mentioned this king and the next moment he turned to another king. And so that would may create confusion for us. So take note of that as we proceed with the study. And the next thing we move on to is the prophet's call to the Lord's ministry. And that is from verses 4 to 10. I want to go quickly into this. God's call of Jeremiah as a prophet, recorded in verse 4 to 5, contained a message to motivate him for the task ahead. The call that God has given to him. And God accompanied that call with a message to encourage him. God revealed his selection of Jeremiah as a prophet had occurred even before, as we read, what? The word of the Lord came unto me, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, or consecrated thee, and I ordained thee, and that's a very good word down there, to set apart as a prophet unto the nation. The Hebrew word knew, I knew thee, in verse 5, means far more than just intellectual knowledge. The Lord knows every detail of every one of us. The Lord knows His prophet. The Lord knows Jeremiah in detail. It was use of an intimate relation experienced by husband and wife. Just as what we read in Genesis chapter 4 verse chapter 4 verse 1, when we read there, Adam knew his wife. It is a very intimate relationship. And so God has this knowledge, this relationship, this close relationship. And it conveys also, that Hebrew word conveys also a commitment that the Lord made to Jeremiah. I am committed to you. That's what it carries or conveys. A very personal relationship. And that word is also used in Amos chapter 3 verse 2. Committed to what? Committed not only to protect you, committed to be with you, committed to that calling that I am given to you, and I will make sure that you will succeed in the work that I called you to. And so before Jeremiah was conceived, God has singled him out to be his spokesman. Not because of anything good about Jeremiah, and therefore do not venerate all these people who are called into the ministry. They are also sinners saved by grace. But it is God's appointment for them. It is God's call to them. And so Jeremiah had been set apart, and that is the word ordained, set apart for this ministry. And the verb translated set apart in the Hebrew means setting something or someone apart for a specific or a particular use. It could be individual person or object, just like the Lord commanded Moses to set aside all those utensils or instruments to be used in the sacrifices, that it should not be used for anything else, just for that particular. So it is consecrated also. Sanctified means consecrated or made holy for only the Lord's use. God had marked Jeremiah from conception and summoned him for a particular task. He was appointed, and the word ordained also gives us the sense of God gave. The Lord gave him to be a prophet to the nations. And I want us to take note of the word nations too. It is in the plural. Though Jeremiah proclaims God's word to the people of Judah, his ministry as God's spokesman extends beyond Judah to the Gentile nation. And perhaps to his shock, to his enemies, the Babylonians. Because Jeremiah, together with the people of Judah, will be carried away captive into Babylon. And so on this point of Jeremiah's call, it is not only true of Jeremiah, but also true of us, of every believer in the Lord. If you are truly a Christian believer, you are called of God before you were born. This we know in the New Testament, that what? before the foundation of the world. It is the Lord who foreordained our salvation, who knew us even before we were formed. Do you know that? That you were chosen, elect of God, not because of anything good in you, not because God sees that what you're going to do or your response to God's call, but God, out of His great mercy and His compassion, before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, tells us that God has ordained us, called us into salvation. His Holy Spirit works in our rebellious heart and lead us to faith, to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And so Jeremiah's call is also our call. Jeremiah's call, or rather the Lord's call to Jeremiah, and the promises made to him to protect him, to give him the ability to do the work, to provide for him, to deliver him, to defend him, to help him, to guide him, to encourage him. All this that God made to Jeremiah is also made to us as God's people. And therefore we should take comfort and encourage that as Jeremiah, we as God's people, if we are truly redeemed by the blood of Christ, you will come under the care, the watchful care of this great and mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will be able to strengthen, just as He entrusted to Jeremiah a very heavy responsibility. And more importantly, we note here in this writing that Jeremiah is going to face fierce opposition. He will be hated. He will be despised. He will be scorned at. And that is why those of us who are serving the Lord, those of us who are called into the ministries to be pastors, missionaries, go in with your eyes open and realize, just as the Lord Jesus Christ went unto His own and His own received Him not and despised Him and finally crucified Him, you who are called, you whom God called as a believer, you whom God called to be Sunday school teachers or to serve in whatever ministry, be prepared that all your work will not only be not appreciated and people will hate you. Especially if you live a life of holiness and righteousness as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more they will hate you. The more they will turn against you. And same for Jeremiah here. But don't forget, as the Lord promised to Jeremiah, that promise also to us. And that is, the Lord is committed to be with you. He made that commitment. He ordained you. He called you into whatever vocation, whatever service, whatever ministry. He is committed to you as He is committed to Jeremiah. And so likewise for us, you are called into eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you are under the watchful care of your Savior, the Lord Jesus, who made that commitment to you. God's ordination of Jeremiah also applies to us because believers are ordained, given to the world as it is, to be what? To be Christ's witnesses. To remonstrate to them, or with them, of their sin, to bring the good news of salvation to those around us. And as believers, if you say you are one, or confess or profess that you are one, have you forgotten your calling, brethren? Have you forgotten your calling to eternal life and to serve the Lord Jesus? When I say serve, I don't mean to serve necessarily means serving in an official capacity as elders, deacons, preacher, pastor, minister, Sunday school teachers. No. Committed, or rather called to eternal life, to serve Christ, to live a life of a servant. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world in humility to offer Himself for our redemption. That is what I meant. However, in verse 6, we read of Jeremiah's reaction to God's appointment, and he reacted with a measure of self-doubt. And that is good sign. He first objected that he know not how to speak. Similar to the excuse or the reason that Moses gave to God in Exodus 4:10. But we notice here that Jeremiah was not claiming that he was physically unable to speak. He was claiming a lack of confidence, a lack of eloquence, and the speaking ability required for such an important public ministry, because he is going to be God's spokesman. And Jeremiah also objected, and we can understand why. And he said that I'm only a child, for I am a child. And that word in Hebrew, na'ar, it has that sense of being an infant, a baby, or perhaps of a young man in Genesis 14:24. We do not know Jeremiah's age, but very probably between the age of early 20s to late 20s. And so indeed, he was a young man. And so by using the term child, Jeremiah was emphasizing his lack of experience, his knowledge, because he requires knowledge to speak to the people of God, to warn the people of God. If you do not understand the message and do not have the message or no understand the message, how are you going to convey it to others? And so he realized that. And his lack of stature, being a young man, who would want to listen to a young upstart? And particularly from the older ones who will look at him. And that is why Paul told the young pastor Timothy, let no man despise thy youth. Carry yourself. Conduct yourself in the way of the Lord. And so he felt ill-prepared to be God's ambassador to the nation. And don't forget, a prophet to the nations. And that is why I emphasize, or rather pointed out to us, take note of the word nations. Why? Because he is going to carry this warning of judgment, not just to God's people. He is going to carry this message of warning, of judgment to the Babylonians, to all those who are rebellious, and all those who turn against God. It means a prophet to the Babylonians. Jeremiah somehow knew he will also be taken into captivity. His responsibility was not only to warn Judah of the coming judgment, he will also be speaking against the proud king of Babylon, his army, and his people. We have already considered that in our study of the book of Minor Prophets. Start with the H, Habakkuk. We know from that study, the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, a very proud king, and his army, forgetting that God is using them as an instrument of judgment against Judah. But God is going to deal with them. And so this is a very challenging, very dangerous, and unpleasant ministry to Jeremiah. Beloved, let us not fall into this delusion that serving the Lord, particularly those of us who are called into the ministry or even into the ministry as Bible study leaders, Sunday school teachers, preachers, pastors, missionaries, it is not an easy ministry. You will be hated. You will be disliked. People may smile at you in the front, but behind you they will curse you. Be prepared for it. Realize it comes with the whole package. Sure, the Lord in His mercy from time to time will send like-minded faith brethren to come and encourage you. But more often than not, you will have a very hard time, just like Jeremiah. And for those of us who may not be called into the ministry, but leading your life as a Christian, a life of holiness, a life of righteousness, a life of doing what is right and good and pleasing in the sight of God, will bring hatred from your colleagues, your neighbors, your family members too, those who are outside of the kingdom. So are you ready for that? If you think that becoming a Christian will make you a likable person and the whole world will come to you and kiss you, you are in the wrong place. You will not be. And that is why it is so dangerous and so wicked for false teachers to teach us easy believism, health and wealth gospel. This is not the life. And if you are coming or deciding to become a Christian or member of this church, thinking that, oh, everything will be well, all will be blessing, you are in the wrong place. May I suggest to you and warn you, particularly if you are truly a Christian, living a life of as light and salt of the earth. And so, he comes before God or reacted knowing where he stands, and he acknowledges his weakness and limitation. And as I said, this is a good sign. It is a sign or an attitude of humility, of helplessness. And this is necessary for those of us who want to serve the Lord, for those of us who want to live a life that glorifies God, a life of humility. And it augurs well for Jeremiah, this young prophet, because God's answer to him in verses 7 to 10 will surely inspire him, will surely strengthen and encourage him for the task ahead. And therefore God gave him three answers to Jeremiah's objection. First, he stressed authority under which Jeremiah was to act. Jeremiah is not going there with his own authority. And Jeremiah was told never to use or not to use his inexperience as an excuse for evading this task. He had no choice. The Lord has already called him. He has no choice. He cannot choose who he speaks to. He's going to what? Speaks to all. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee. Verse 7. And whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak without holding back, without fear and favor of men. And so, the Lord said, you do not have to be worried. I will go with you. I will send you. All you need to do is to speak what I command you. Jeremiah did or do not have to be an eloquent spokesman or eloquent elder statesman. He simply has to be a faithful messenger. Faithfulness is what God is looking out in our lives, in our hearts. Second, God stressed that he would protect the future prophet. Evidently, it's true. And if you and I are in Jeremiah's prophet, and knowing that you are going to enemy's ground, you will certainly be afraid for your own personal safety, isn't it? And certainly this fear is based on his awareness of the time, the danger ahead, the difficult path. Yet God told Jeremiah not to be afraid. Do not be afraid of their faces. Whatever they do to you, I am with thee. And then, very importantly, we read in verse 9 that the Lord put forth his hand and touched the mouth of Jeremiah. And this is the anointing of Jeremiah by the Lord, which also means that Jeremiah, at that point, when the Lord touched his lips or mouth, he received inspiration. And probably it also goes with the ability for the task. And so he received all these things with conviction, solid conviction. And that conviction stays with the prophet Jeremiah till the very end of his ministry, till the very end of his life. And this visible manifestation of God was an object lesson to teach or to show Jeremiah that the Lord himself will put his words in Jeremiah's mouth. Jeremiah need not worry about what to say. God will provide every word. God will open the opportunity. God will give him courage. What about you, brethren? What about you who claim to be Christians? Are you apprehensive Are you fearful when the Lord called you to serve in this area or to do this or to witness for Him? These days I have observed, sad, in this country and in many other places, the last time you used to, from time to time, see people saying grace at public eatery or cafeteria is far to be found these days. I don't see it anymore. People saying grace. I don't know whether you noticed that. And so what about you? Are you afraid? Shame of the name of Christ to witness for Him? Are you afraid to take up a position or the role of Sunday school teachers? To be called into the ministry perhaps? Or whatever the Lord assigned you to do? Are you like Jeremiah making excuses? Or do you, on the other hand, like Jeremiah, in humility, accept the call and trust the Lord to provide that all that you need or needed to carry out the task that God called you to? Do you have the conviction of Jeremiah? Oh brethren, believers, we have to have strong conviction. How can you represent the Lord Jesus as witnesses if you have no conviction? And I'm talking about scriptural conviction. I'm talking about conviction from scripture, from the Word of God. And how do you get the conviction from the Word of God? You make sure you have a firm and solid understanding of the gospel message, of what you believe. Make sure you understand the core doctrine of the Bible. Make sure you believe all the biblical explanation for everything that you believe, so that you are firmly, it is firmly set in your heart. What do you and I do not need as believers, as pastors, as believers, as Christians? We do not need opinions, but we need biblical conviction. So therefore, brethren, may I urge upon all of us, make time, make effort to mine deep into the Word of God, so that you will not be tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, the sleights of man, wickedness, so that you will not be easily deceived, so that you are able to size up, be sharp, to size up the situation, to size up the teaching, whether it is true. Oh, brethren, be very, very careful. Be very, very sharp. This day, satanic attack or deception or false teaching comes in very, very attractive way. And I observe that it comes in half-truth. It comes with not full poison, but a little bit of poison sweetened with sugar. Why? It needs to be. It needs to give you that very pleasant impression so that you will take the first bite. But that poison will slowly work in your system, in your mind, in your heart. And soon, before you realize it, you are gone. Oh dear friends, may the words of Jeremiah in verses 7 to 10 fill your heart, fill my heart, and encourage us to respond to God's call with conviction. And then in verse 10, very quickly, I want to move on in the next 5 minutes. Here in verse 10, the Lord summarized Jeremiah's message. It will be a message, as I said, both of blessing and judgment to the nation. And God here in verse 10 uses two main metaphors to describe Jeremiah's mission. And the first is use of as a farmer. Comparing Jeremiah to a farmer, God said he would uproot. And the word uproot there has the sense of judgment. And to plant, blessing. And then comparing to Jeremiah to his mission to a builder or an architect. He's got to tear down, to destroy, to overthrow, and then to build.
Oh, listen, brethren, Christian believers. Jeremiah's mission is not only for the ministers or the pastors. It is for everyone who is in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I have the responsibility. The Lord has called you. Not only called you to salvation, but also to call you into the various ministry of the church. To give you spiritual gifts. To enable you to do the work that the Lord wants you to. But nevertheless, yes, your calling and my calling may be different. But nevertheless, the Lord has called each one of us into different areas of service and bestowed upon us, every believer, spiritual gifts, and enabled us by His Holy Spirit to do that work. So, and even so, your so-called secular employment, whether in the office, whether in the school, whether in whatever, whether in the factory, your calling, your secular employment is also God's calling, because it is the Lord who opened that door for you to be gainfully employed. Not just to provide for your needs, but the Lord placed you at that particular place of work, at that particular school, at that particular location, at that particular neighborhood. For what? To be His witnesses, to be light and salt of the world. And so you have no excuses, brethren. And the Lord will not accept a refusal from you. Just as He will not accept a refusal from Jeremiah. No excuses. And the Lord will call you and the Lord will enable you. If you cannot preach or you cannot teach, then you can still do something. What? And that is to encourage those who preach. By your prayers, by your support, by your encouragement, by your participation. You can also write. If you cannot write, you can text. If you cannot text, you can give a call. What else? What other excuses do you have? I cannot do this, I cannot do that. Surely you can pray, isn't it? Let us not make excuses, but be willing to make sacrifices for the Lord Jesus who gave His life for you on that cruel cross. We come very quickly to the third aspect, and that is the prophet's confirming vision 11 to 16. And Lord hope, or rather confirm this call, by giving two visions. Here, look at verse 13. Or rather the two visions there. A rod of an almond tree, and then sifting pot. So the rod in the Old Testament suggests a rod of chastening. It is going to happen. The people is going to be chastened. And the Hebrew word for almond tree is from the word to hasten, or to watch, or to await. The almond tree was named the hasty tree during the time of in the land of Palestine. Why? Because it is the first tree in the year to bud and to bear fruit. It blossoms. Precedes its leaves as the tree bursts into blossom. And the rod of an almond tree represented God who was watching, God who was seeing to it that the warning pronounced and was spoken by Jeremiah will be fulfilled without delay. God used a play of words to associate the almond branch with His activity. The word for haste or hastening in the Hebrew related to this almond tree. Jeremiah's of that hasty tree reminded him of the urgency of the message. He is not to delay. Just as the Lord will not delay in fulfilling it, Jeremiah's responsibility is to announce it quickly. His word, God is going to be awake and watching over His word to make sure that it comes to pass. And then the second vision, the boiling pot. And then that is, we are told that it indicates a wind or a draft blowing upon the fire to bring the contents to a boil. The pot is tilting away towards the north, and that indicates what is to come. Who is in the south? Since the pot is facing, coming from the north, Judah. The north is the Babylonians, and all its allies are coming. So the tilting pot represented disaster, hostility,
perilous time that will be poured upon the lives of Judah. And these people, God will use as instrument of judgment to come. And so we also note here that why is it that it is coming from the north when we know that Babylon is located east? Well, it could be as a deception coming from the north instead of directly from the east to Judah. We are not sure, but it will surely come. Jeremiah recorded the fulfillment of this prophecy in chapter 39, verses 2 to 3, after the Babylonian captured Judah, or Jerusalem rather, and Judah fall to Babylon would be God's judgment for idolatry, as we see in verse 16, I will utter my judgment against them for their wickedness, for their forsaking God, burning incense and worship works of their own hand. Dear friends, this warning of judgment from God is no laughing matter. You may not sense it. You may comfortably sitting down here, hearing this sermon and think, well, yeah, judgment is coming. Okay. Sure. Oh, dear friends, this is no laughing matter. The Lord is going to do that and fulfill His word. And His word will not return unto Him void, as we are told in Isaiah. Even though you may not sense it, even though you may not believe it, but it will come. You either take it seriously and repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus for your deliverance from eternal damnation, or else you will likewise perish like the people of Judah, like the Babylonians, who were rebellious and stubborn. And lastly, God gave His prophet the needed strength to do His work. And so therefore, brethren, you and I, who are also called, not only as believers, but called into the various vocations, called into serving the Lord in various capacities as witnesses, be comforted, be encouraged, have no fear, but be ready. Your ministry, your work, your walk, your life as a Christian will be hard. It will not be easy. You will be hated. You will be despised. You will be scorned at. You will be laughed at. But will you turn away? Or will you, like Jeremiah? And here, these are the terms that the Lord gave to Jeremiah. And these are the terms that the Lord gave to us, the Christian believers. Called of the Lord, you will suffer, but I will be with you. I will deliver you. But I want us to notice that the deliverance of Jeremiah is not physical. Because at the end of the day, we read that Jeremiah was killed. So what is the deliverance? You see? And that's the trouble with us. Every time we read of such things, everything is physical. Blessing means physical blessing. No, it's spiritual. Why? Because the message, the word of Jeremiah, the work that the Lord called him to, that message survived. And this is where we have it today. One of the 66 books in the Bible. And so God kept His promise. Spiritually, Jeremiah is alive because we are reading His word. This warning is given to us. And the message of blessing and restoration is given to us. But be assured, God will help you to overcome. And as Jeremiah, upon receiving this call, he bowed down in submission and said, Lord, I accept the term. I accept it. Yes, it may not be written here, but it is quite obvious that Jeremiah accepted the terms that God gave to him of his calling. And I trust that we as believers likewise will say, Lord, I accept your term and be ready to stand in all things for the Lord, no matter what comes. Let us pray. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we praise and thank Thee and bless Thee for Thy great mercy, for this call that You have given to us. Oh Father, we pray that Thou will help us, that we may take heed, that we may turn to Thee while You may be found.
So Lord, we pray that Thou will dismiss us with Thy blessing, and that in this new week, that Thou will go before us and go with us, and that Thou will pour forth Your blessing upon us, and that Your presence will be with us in every situation of our lives. Whatever may come our way in this new week, whether be it sorrow or pain or joy, whether be it harvest or lack, O Father, we ask that You will grant us much grace, that we will be faithful to Thee, to walk close to Thee till the very end. So help us, we pray. Amen.